All right. Good morning, everyone. This is your favorite host, Corinne Lafont, talking to you from the Caribbean, in particular Trinidad and Tobago. I am having such a wonderful day here. I'm looking outside. I'm seeing the beautiful weather. It's blue skies, hardly any clouds, nice wispy-looking clouds, and the sun is lovely and bright. Oh, my goodness. It's a beautiful day, so we must be thankful that we are alive to appreciate these little things around us that God has provided us, you know, with. So, I have with me today a lovely guest, once again, Gabriela Guggenminotti-Jabel. I practiced it so much because we have spoken on my other radio show, Between the Lines, Empowering Others, and I think she has been on my show twice. So we have been speaking, we know each other, we have been in communication, and I'm having her on my show today because she is such a wonderful woman, very, very sweet. You know, she has traveled as well. I mean, if you hear her story, she's going to share it. And she's going to tell you about what she has learned on her journey. You know, because people who travel, they always learn something. You don't ever travel and walk away without, you know, learning something or being different, coming out different. You walk in one way and you walk out another way. Just amazing what travel can do for you. So Gabriela is going to share a bit about that. She has done the Antarctica. I mean, I've just seen these on maps, not in real life. She has taken to the ocean. She has done a lot of things that most people would not dare to do or maybe afraid to do. So we need to understand how she managed to make that move on her own, a woman on her own. She's very daring. And we need to understand how she did that and what she can share with our audience today, especially the women, yeah, because she has been teaching on certain things that pertain to women, you know, and their whole body and their cycle, etc. So she's very informative where that is concerned. So Gabriela, before I talk the entire show about you, I'm going to welcome you to the show now. Welcome to You Trippin'.
Hi, Corinne. Thank you so much for having me on another show of yours. So wonderful.
It is. And you're Italian and you're living in the UK, or are you in Italy?
No, I'm Italian, but I've been living in UK for, at the end of this month, precisely 18 years.
Whoa, that is a long time. That's like my age. I'm 18. That's a long time.
I know, Corinne, it's a long time. You see, you are in the Caribbean. You are in the Caribbean, Corinne, right?
Yes.
So 18 years in the Caribbean,
yes, possibly
would have been easier.
Yes, I'm permanently 18. I'm between 18 and 25. That's what I'm sticking with, okay?
Yes, okay, great.
Okay, so Gabriela, you have your site termed Flying Inspiration, and you went off to the Antarctica. Tell us a bit about what made you venture off into that part of the world. What caused you to really do that, and what can you share with our listeners today about your experience on the Antarctic?
Well, I was, as you said, I was born in Italy, not in the south, in the north, in Turin, which is near the Alps, so not really a tropical destination, but not as cold, well, not, possibly as cold as England, just a different climate. But I always been attracted by the warm, sunny weather, not ice, or icy weather like Antarctica. So how did I end up over there? Good question. It's a strange story, but it really happened to me this way. I moved to UK in 1998, and the reason being I met a British man who happened to holiday in the Maldives, and I was there for work. I was a rep. Or for an Italian tour operator. And I met him on the island I was looking after, you know, and in my spare time I was diving, and so we were buddied up together, and that's the way we met. And so eventually, a few months later, I found myself flying to London to meet him, and then later on, precisely 1 month later, to actually move there for good. So that's the way I ended up in rainy UK. But why on earth would I choose to go to Antarctica? Well, in a nutshell, our relationship developed. We became more than good friends, and then later on we got married, and as it happens sometimes, and then later on we divorced. As it happens sometimes. So I still was in UK, and I was trying to come to grips with it all. As you can imagine, it's not something particularly nice to go through, a divorce, and I'm sure many a listener might have experienced it directly. So for 2 years, just roughly, I had to deal with the legal process, and I was still living with him, split under the same roof. So it was really intense and quite challenging, to say the least. So I, let's say, the so-called Gabriella Guglielminotti trivial fell little by little into pieces, right? Emotionally and psychologically, I mean. And so when the legalities eventually ended, and after two court hearings, I found myself in a situation where I only had one desire, and one desire only, which was coming back together, basically refinding myself, reinventing myself, because I didn't know anymore who I was. And sometimes, you know, life is funny, throws things at you, you know, just in the right moment. What happened was I actually had my second court hearing on the 30th of May, and on the 2nd of May I went to this event I heard of from a friend, where there was this Australian guy called Peter Bland, who was actually was talking at one of the speakers. He was talking at the show at this event, and he was basically, you know, selling his adventure for people who were daring enough to go to Antarctica with him to face fear and limiting beliefs. So imagine little Gabriella broken into pieces, and I always loved traveling. If I have an addiction in my life, it's traveling. And so you can imagine, I found myself there in front of somebody talking and showing slides and pictures and all sorts of stuff about Antarctica. Because, by the way, he had been himself to the North and South Pole previously, and I love nature, and so I found myself totally smitten with these things, and I liked the idea, and so I thought, ooh, this is something for me. You know, my heart was starting beating again, and so, but out of excitement this time. So I had a long talk. I had a long talk with him. And what happened was, I found myself standing in front of a person who was doing something that I had been thinking I would like to do, you know, taking people to places. In this case, he was taking people to the Antarctic Peninsula, but with a purpose, as you say, travel changes you. So with a purpose to grow, basically, you know, to really test yourself. And so here I was. It was June 2007. And I had just trained in neuro-linguistic programming, also called NLP, the year before. So, which is, you know, all about the mind, how to get to know your mind, so to maximize your potential, reaching your goals, etc. So you can imagine, I was thinking, wow, this is great, this is for me. And if I don't do it now, I will never do this, you know. And also I knew that out of the process or divorce process, I would get a bit of money, not much, but a bit. And so I thought, you know what, instead of thinking about security and safety, all these things, you know, that you can choose to look for, I just felt, listen to my heart. My heart was saying, go girl, go girl, go and test yourself in Antarctica. As if, Corinne, as if I hadn't been tested already enough, but that's my character. So I basically decided to join it, you know, and that was it. But the tricky bit was, this was June 2007, the expedition wasn't happened until March 2008. So there were 9 months in between. And in those 9 months, for me, it was really hard to come to grips with my mind, managing the mind that was, you know, the monkey mind. And so to prepare myself psychologically and also physically. So that in itself was quite challenging. So my travel, in a way, let's call it my emotional and psychological travel, started really in June 2007. Even if I really set off for Antarctica in March 2008.
Wow, that is an amazing story. I like how you said, listen to your heart. Because, you know, you could have talked yourself out of it. But, and just like a lot of people, you know, you see opportunities come to you, and you feel something move within you, you know, the initial reaction. But yet, a voice will step in and say, no, I can't do it, what about this, what about that? You know, but your heart starts to build an excitement, it starts to flutter more, your blood is rushing, you're like, yeah, I can do this. And we talk ourselves out of it. And I'm glad that you listened to your heart. And given what you were going through, you know, with the divorce after being in love with this person and, you know, spending time with them, moving from Italy to the UK, you have done some leap of faith type of thing. You left your comfort of Italy to go to the UK to be with somebody that you love at the time. And here you are again, facing a divorce, another change where you're making a leap of faith to go off to the Antarctica, you know, which is really more than a leap of faith. You literally jumped off the cliff and make a move. And for a woman, you know what I find, more and more women, I'm thinking about it now, it seems to be something that more women probably tend to do than men. Do you find that? And what would cause a woman? I mean, I'm just thinking to myself, based on talking to being a female and probably talking to other females, who would more likely take leaps of faith? Why is it that a woman may more likely do it rather than a man? Do you think that is the case?
Well, I would say I'm tempted to answer yes, but I don't. I don't want to be biased, but I am a woman, so I am biased already because I'm a woman. But okay, let's discuss this a bit. I think you're right. In a way, possibly we are both, can be both audacious, men and women. It's just we are in a different way because we operate in different ways. So, but for me, as you said, it's true. I had three leap of faith when I left my country, when I actually got married, and then when I got divorced, and then this one, it happened soon after. It was a huge leap of faith for me. And I tell you why, and I'm sure many listeners might resonate with this. For me, basically, there was in front of me there was nothing. I felt really I was at the end of my rope, or as they say, you know, and so I didn't know anything about my future. So instead of looking for, as I was saying, safety, security, what I and keep the little money I would get because you don't know what is going to happen and all the rest of it. Besides, I was also through a career change. So my future was even more uncertain. I decided to, I took advantage of that moment of excitement and to be able to listen mm-hmm. to my heart, because otherwise, as you said, I wouldn't have done it, because when you start thinking, you know, the mind can show you millions of reasons why not to. But sometimes in life you have you are in a spot which is privileged. Like I was really totally destroyed emotionally. So in a way, I think I chose that out of desperation, possibly. And yes, I was anxious, and I am now thinking about it. Yes, I was. But I think there's something that pushes us, men and women, in life that is bigger than just rational mind. Because, you know, at the end of the day, if you don't do something you really love, if you are not being you, really you, at the core of it, you know, what else there is to it? I mean, what else there is in life to do?
Yeah.
If you just look at the financial, functional, rational way of living, so everything is okay, the status quo keeps going on, there's no joy. And I think I was in a moment where I realized that, and I thought, you know what, my spirit was starting, you know, coming back alive little by little, really a question of few hours and days. And I think I just felt it, and I hadn't felt it for so long that I had to follow it. So, it was a bit of a...
I want to make a point here, Gabriella, because, you know, I'm listening to you and I'm totally in agreement with you. What is life worth living if you don't do the things that really gets you excited? You know, you just get up in the morning, brush your teeth, shower, do the regular routine, la-di-dee, la-di-da, blah, blah, blah. And you do it again every day for the rest of your life. Come on. You know, step out of that comfort zone. You know, stop worrying about fear. You know, fear is false evidence appearing real. You're conjuring up these thoughts. Your mind puts these things to stop you from really experiencing the joy of living. What if it doesn't work out? So what? Move on. Right? At least you could say you did it. Somebody else would not be able to see that, but at least you could say, hey, I did it, and this is what happened, and I could say I did it. Did you? What have you done that really got your heart pumping, that got your adrenaline rushing, that you can say, yeah, I was so crazy enough that I did that? What have you done? Oh, your life is just a routine. Okay, well, you stay there. You know? And some people might look at you and think you're crazy for doing quote-unquote crazy things. But it's just because you recognize that life is short and you're probably going through something, and just like with you, you realize that you don't know what your future holds. You were disoriented. You wanted to reinvent yourself. You want to get to know you. You want to see what you're made up of. You want to see how much is in you. Because you've lived your life so much with your husband at the time, this man that you love, and so now that that has shaken up, you're kind of like, who am I? Where am I? How am I going to live life? How am I going to exist? So when something came at you, and I'm talking to a lot of listeners, and including myself here, when something comes at you that makes your heart jolt, it brings back that life. You're like, oh my God, I actually feel something. This moves me. I need to do this. And I love that about you, Gabriella. You're taking risks. You're out there. You're just doing stuff. And I mean, what really is there to stop you? Now that you have left Italy, moved to the UK, got married, take another leap, gone to Antarctica, you know, and doing other things. The question remains now, what else can't you do? You can't do anything. Because if you went trekking in Antarctica, you can't certainly do anything right now, right?
Well, funny enough that you're saying this, because I will share this, which is quite pertinent. When I came back, because I went with Peter Bland and the group, we went on this journey to Antarctica that was on a ship, and it was just 10 days. We had some days before in Ushuaia and after, Ushuaia being the tip of the Argentinian country where ships generally set off for Antarctica. Anyway, after that, I traveled on my own in South America, and I went as far as Easter Island, the middle of the Pacific. When I went back eventually home, and it was in London at the time, I remember that I find myself, you know, you run on the wave of the adrenaline that, of course, is still with you for some time. But then after that, you have the drop-off, basically, and you find yourself in front of, again, in the Neil, because, by the way, I went back to nothing because I had to reinvent myself. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where. I just went back to London because my stuff was there, but that was it. I was sharing accommodation with other people to minimize my costs. That was my reality. So you can imagine the huge difference between the prairies of Patagonia and the ice of Antarctica and finding yourself back in Bristol, which is a south borough of London, you know. I was just, after a few weeks, I was just like under in pieces again. And I tell you why. Because I realize, well, what's next? As you say, you know, there is a 0.0, I don't know exactly, 1 or 2% of the population of the planet that goes to Antarctica. So a pretty unique things to do. What is next? What's your next challenge? Mars, maybe? And I thought, I stopped. And it really stopped me. And I thought, wow, yeah, maybe Mars, but that is going to be a bit tricky, okay? And so what happened to me, something very deep and interesting. I realized that I've run this pattern all my life. And I can explain what I mean by that. I push myself to my limits all the time since a very early age. And so this was a big push, definitely. And because it was such a big push, as you said, you know, I asked myself, what can I do next? And yes, you can answer, I can do anything. At the same time, though, there is also another side to it, which means you realize, yes, I can do anything, but what I really want. And that was the big question for me. And what happened was I realized that what I really wanted to do, that would have, forget about Mars, that it could have meant for me another challenge that would have meaning for me, because I went to Antarctica because I wanted to test myself, and I definitely did there. And so the thing was, okay, what next? And I realized, well, what next would be something that I know my heart would really sing about. It would be to run my own business, you know. And that was then became my next challenge. But unfortunately, it's a very different one. It's not like just a trip, you know. It's an ongoing thing. So I've been in this challenge now for years.
That's fantastic, Gabriella, because, you know, you're looking for another challenge, and once you have taken the first challenge, you're going to be looking for another. I can do this. It becomes like a runner. I can run a 5K race. I need to do a 10K after. I need to do a 15K. I need to do a 26. Okay, I need to climb the highest mountain. You're looking, you're constantly, human beings are constantly looking for the next challenge. But, Gabriella, we're coming up to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to give you an opportunity before we get cut off here on air to share any links that you have in terms of your books and in terms of your travels around the world. And I just want to remind you to provide me with a cheat sheet of tips that, you know, in terms of your journey, that would be really good for somebody to benefit from and add value to their life, especially for women. So I look forward to receiving that, and persons can get that on our Facebook group for the show You Trippin' at facebook.com/group/YouTrippin'. So all those links are provided on the description page for the show. And of course, if you follow me on Facebook and Twitter, etc., Corinne Lafont, you'll be able to get me there. But Gabriella, use the last few minutes here now to be able to share any links to your book, links to your website, or anything that you would like people to connect with you on the show.
Thank you. Well, I actually, 3 years later, I came back from the trip, which happened in 2008. I wrote a book, and this book is titled Antarctic Odyssey, A New Beginning, funnily enough. And listeners can find the book on my website, which is flyinginspiration.com. And Flying Inspiration is written in one word. And they can find the book there, and they can find lots of video, they can find interviews, they can find articles, and they can purchase, if they so desire. It's an ebook, but also now it's in a printed form, and also is available on Amazon, on Nook, on Kobo, and also on the publisher website, which is The Endless Bookcase.
Beautiful, beautiful. And I've looked at your website. I love the videos. I mean, well, we know each other for a very long time. So, you know, I love talking with you. You know that. But this is great, Gabriella. I want to thank you so much for being on my show. My second show, can you imagine? My second show, you're here with me. I'm so happy to have you on my show. It means to say that, you know, we have such a good relationship for my full show that you wanted to be on this show as well, and I thank you for that. And to my listeners, I want to thank you for following the show, You Trippin' on the Blog Talk Radio Network, for joining us in the group on facebook.com/group/ You Trippin', because that's where you will get access to all my guests on the show, access to all the cheat sheets or tip sheets of the experiences, travel, so that it saves you time and energy to look for it yourself. It's all in one place. And of course, it gives you access to me, Corinne Lafont, your host, where you can connect with me, talk with me. And of course, I'm in the Caribbean, the one place everybody loves to travel. You know, I live in Jamaica, I'm now in Trinidad, I'm very familiar with the Caribbean. So hey, hit me up anytime on the Facebook group, on your tripping, to be able to get any information you want from me on the Caribbean. I'm here, I'm your Caribbean girl, your island girl, okay? So Gabriella, in the last few seconds, is there any final words you
want
to say to our
listeners? Well, yes, I would like to leave the listeners with the final line of my book, because I think it's relevant and pertinent, and it is as follows. Life is a journey of the heart. The mind is only a helper, and the soul is the adventurer. Thank you, Corinne, for having me.
Beautiful. Great way to end this. Fantastic way to end the show. Thank you so much, Gabriella. I wish you a wonderful day. I wish everyone a wonderful week. Today is Friday, people. Make it fun, enjoy it, be thankful, and show gratitude to those around you. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Have a great weekend, everyone.